In Jesus' name, amen and thank God. There's a story of a child prodigy who at the age of 12 went all over the city, a small town in Mississippi, singing from church to church. At a very young age, she had developed a name for herself. And she continued to go throughout the circuit all the way through her high school years. She was in very high demand in her little small town. But she had the idea of moving on to the bigger city. She had this mind that she wanted to have her name in lights. She wanted the fame and the fortune that came along with the gift in which God had given her. But no doubt she knew that this was a gift of God. She became so wrapped up in the fame and the fortune that she forgot about the gift. She wanted success. She went after it. Every time a door of opportunity was opened for her, another one was closed in her face. And over and over and over, as she struggled to reach this pinnacle of having her name in light and people calling her name and the fortune to go along with it, came to a sad disappointment. Because she never reached that pinnacle. Being depressed, she went back home to her own country church. And the preacher that morning preached a message from this text. This is a text I'm going to use this morning. It's in the Gospel of Matthew. We're piggybacking off of last week's message, the 16th chapter. The preacher said, from the Gospel of Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. From this text, preacher took for this thought, my will or his will, the call to true discipleship. This woman desired great fame. And even though she had a gift that was God-given, she had a misplaced allegiance. It was not to God who was the giver of the gift. It was after her own ambition, her selfishness, her wanting to have her name called, wanting to be in the spotlight. The Bible says that the man that exalted himself, God will bring down. But if you humble yourself, the Bible says that God will exalt you in due season. Well, it's apparent that this woman had not reached her due season because she was still caught up in what the gift could provide. Never really taking the time to say, Lord, thank you for the gift. In our text today, Jesus deals with our selfishness. He deals with us wanting to have things go our way, our own self-ambitions. And let me preface it with this, because there's nothing wrong with us being ambitious. But once again, as I stated in Haggai, put your priorities in order. There's nothing wrong with you wanting to be this grand singer, but put your priorities in order. There's nothing wrong with you wanting to be successful in corporate America. But put your priorities in order. The disciples had already professed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In their agreement with Paul, with Peter, when he said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Because that's what it takes for us to become disciples of Jesus Christ, is to believe who he is and who he says that he is. This here is really a call to discipleship. They have been following Jesus, but now Jesus calls them on the carpet and said, are you willing to commit to being a disciple indeed? Because up until now, they had become disciples just because they were hanging out with Jesus. But understand that it's more than just hanging out with Jesus that makes you a Christian or a disciple. If I was to ask you today, how many of us are Christians in here? We would all raise our hand. We're all Christians. Why? Because we identify with the Christian church, not necessarily Jesus Christ. There have been many atrocities that have been done under the name and the umbrella of Christianity throughout human history. Nowadays, any and everybody calls themselves a Christian. Understand that according to Acts 11, Christianity came into play in Antioch. And it was a derogative term because of what it taught. This religion teaches that you follow a man who was crucified. They were looking at the crucifixion. They were looking at the bloody cross and said, how in the world could you follow something like this? The problem is that they looked at the cross, but they didn't look at the resurrection. And many times we do the same thing. We'll look at the cross, but we won't look at the resurrection. Because Jesus tells us in this text that a part of being a disciple is taking up one's cross. So what does it mean to be a disciple? To be a Christian disciple is to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is when we actively learn and understand and live out what we've learned. It's not enough just for you to learn about Jesus Christ. We must actively live it out in our everyday lives. Because you really don't know what type or what level of faith that you have until you've been tested. You're willing to live out the life in which you're learning, the life that you're getting each Sunday morning here at the Macedonian Baptist Church. The life that is being explained in Bible study. The life that is being taught in Sunday school. And that's why it bothers me when people will not attend any of those teaching mechanisms which the church offers to you. Some people dare not step back into church since the pandemic, and I can't understand why. I can't understand why. Because there's so much to be offered. I know you're getting it on live stream. And God bless you. But there's just something about being in the company of other believers. There's something about rubbing elbows with the folk who name the same Christ that you name. And that does not guarantee just because you're in church that you are a disciple. There's some people that are sitting in the pews on live stream that still have not allowed God to disciple you. You see, because the discipleship, the root word is discipline. It is someone who has disciplined themselves, who have learned what Christ wants us to live and how he wants us to live, and you have decided that I'm going to use some self-discipline and live my life in accordance to what the Word of God said. And I don't know how you can live your life in accordance with the Word of God and you don't know the Word of God. We won't sit still long enough to really learn. You sit here, and it's like it goes right over our heads. And I listen. I've been trying to slow down because I want you to get some of us will never come to Bible study, so we need to have Bible study sometime on Sunday morning. Because my responsibility as the pastor is to make sure that you get it, whether it be in church service or whether it be in Bible study. And so this text challenges us in three areas. The first area is denying ourselves. This is perhaps one of the hardest things for us to do. Because what denying ourselves means is that we are willing to surrender. Surrender our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may say, well, preacher, I've done that. I've surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But understand this, that this word here, the verb tense of this word here actually means to continue to surrender your lives. In other words, your lifestyle should be a lifestyle of surrendering unto God. It's not necessarily telling yourself that I'm worthless, because no one in here is worthless. But again, it's telling us to get our priorities straight, to put God first. It is to deny our self-preservation, that we're to become nothing. The Apostle Paul said it best. He said, everything that I am, everything that I've learned, my extensive education is but dung. It's worthless. It means nothing when you line it up with what we know about Jesus Christ. Listen, I know that you went to school. You got your education. You got your degree. That's fine. But don't you ever think that that's going to exalt you in God's kingdom. It can be useful for the kingdom of God, but it will not get you a ticket into heaven. Even if you go to seminary school and learn all you can about God and all of the nuances of preaching and teaching, it is not a guarantee that you're going to get into the kingdom of God. In order for us to get into the kingdom of God, we must surrender to the will of God. And the only way that you can surrender to the will of God is that you give up your own will. Yes, all of us were created with a free will. But that's what makes this whole thing beautiful. Because even though I got the choice to do what I want to do, Lord, I choose to surrender my life to you. I choose to give my life to you. I choose to live my life in accordance to how you would have me to live it. And I live a continued life of making the same choice over and over and over and over again. No matter what my circumstance, no matter what my situation, God, I choose to surrender my life. I know you're not making me do it, God, but God, I choose to do so. I surrender my will to God's will. It's about denying ourselves. Listen. What it's really about is about putting something down. That's what it is. We spend a lot of time putting down other people. Sometimes we need to put down ourselves. We need to surrender ourselves. We need to bow before God and say, God, I give my all to you. Take my life. Use it as you will, God. And understanding that when we do that, when you surrender your life, there's a cost associated with it. Which brings on the second point. Jesus said that you must take up your cross. This verb is in the aorist tense, which means that it's a one-time thing. You surrender your life unto God. It's a decision that you make. It demands a decision to be made. And what it means is that you're willing to suffer whatever the consequences are behind the decision you make to surrender your life to God. And understand that there are some consequences that will come with. There's some people that will come against you. Satan is going to be upset with you. And he's going to try to discredit you. Listen, if you've been born again, listen here, genuinely born again, there ain't nothing he can do about your salvation. There's absolutely nothing he can do. But what he can do is he can discredit who you are. And that's part of the problem with the church, is that we got too many discredited Christians that have not really understood the value of taking up a cross, realizing that I'm going to get some pushback. Because this world does not honor the Christ that you serve, does not honor the Christ that I serve. And you're going to be rebuked. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be lied on, stabbed in the back, anything that will get up underneath your skin and discredit you from doing what God has for you to do. It's important as we as Christians to be able to show that we've been changed by Almighty God. And being and taking up our cross is the greatest demonstration that we can have. Because what it's saying is that, God, I'm willing to sacrifice all that I have, even if it costs me my life. If it costs me some friends, if it costs me some family, if it costs me some relationship, if it costs me a job, what are you willing to sacrifice? What are you willing to really render unto God? You put down yourself and you pick up a cross. You bear your cross. Every last one of us that have been blood washed, born again, has a cross to bear. And if you're not bearing your cross, then there is no crown. You got to bear this cross. You got to be willing to sacrifice. Sacrifice your time. Sacrifice your talent. Sacrifice your treasure. You got to be willing to work in God's kingdom. We all need to be kingdom workers when working for the kingdom of God. This is a part of us taking up our cross, sacrificing. Everybody can look like a Christian in here. But what happens on Monday when you get to the job? What happens on Sunday night when you go to the bowling alley? What does it look like now? Do you still exemplify a Christian behavior? Are you still living like Christ wants us to live? Or do you just take off your Christianity and put it in the closet when you get home? So what's a disciple? Disciple is a disciple 24/7. I never stop being a disciple. I can change my address, change the city in which I live, change the country I live in. But my title as a disciple remains the same. It does not change. It's not predicated on how much money I have in the bank. Who likes me or who don't like me. It's not predicated on that. So we are to deny ourselves, to surrender ourselves, to lower ourselves. But then we're to take up our cross. And thirdly, we are to follow him. We follow so many, we follow the instructions of the doctors, and we should. We follow the law. If you don't want to go to jail, you're going to follow the law. But what about following Christ? Once again, this verb here, follow, is in the present tense. Which means that it is a continual following him. That nothing can stop you from following God. Nothing can stop you from going after God with all, everything that you have. You see, followers of Christ learn the art of getting up in the morning saying, God, lead me. It's God that leads us as we follow. You don't necessarily follow the preacher. You follow God's word. And I've determined that I'm going to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's my will. That's me surrendering my will. I'm deciding I'm going to follow God. Because God certainly didn't make me do it. He didn't make me follow him. He didn't make me receive him, accept him. Because what my salvation is really, my salvation is from above. It's not down here on earth. And I think that that's part of the problem that we see in the church today, is that we let people into the church that have never been born again, have never really given their lives, they've never committed themselves to being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. They come in and there's no change in their lives. The only religious thing they do is they religiously come to church on Sundays. But there's no real change. Listen, I'm telling you this because this is a very important message for you in the lives of those who are sitting here, and perhaps you have not given life, God, your life. Don't let this pass you by. There needs to be a significant change in your life. Listen, and all of us are growing at different levels. I get that. But we should all be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe I'm following a little bit slower than you are, or a little bit closer than you are, but you still need to be a follower of Jesus Christ. How can two walk together, yet be in disagreement? If you say that you're walking with Christ, but you're living contrary to Christ, then that means that you're not following Christ. This is what God desires. This is an all or nothing right here. There is no middle ground here. You can't partway follow him. Listen, even in us being followers, we're going to make mistakes. There's some time that in following Christ, I take the wrong turn. I've done that. I've seen where it led me to. But I'm so thankful to God that God can correct any misstep that I make. And if you listen, and if you sit still long enough, God will redirect you and get you back on course. You see, because that's what followers do. Why? Because we've been marked in our ears. We hear his voice, and when he said that, listen here, you're going the wrong way, rerouting you. And God will reroute you and get you back on track. Because as I mentioned, in the Bible says that God has a plan. Listen here, for everybody in here. There's not a person in here that God does not have a plan for your life. But it's up to you whether you will surrender your will to his will. You see, because God cannot drive as long as you still got the wheel. As long as you're still steering your life, God cannot get you to where you need to be at. You've got to let go of the wheel, and you've got to trust by faith that God is going to lead me in the path of righteousness, that he might be blessed. That's what this is really about. He's preparing these disciples for what would happen on the day of Pentecost. Because the same church that Jesus talks about in this text is the same one that will be birthed by the preaching of Peter. And what he preached to them was Jesus Christ and him crucified and rose on the third day. What this did is that this cut the people at their heart. In other words, it cut them within themselves. And they said, what shall we do? It compelled them to make a decision. Lord, we want to do something. We just don't know what to do. Peter told them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sin. That very day, 3,000 souls were added to the church. 3,000 people repented at the preaching of the gospel. 3,000 of them made a decision to deny themselves. 3,000 people decided that they were going to pick up a cross and to follow Jesus Christ. And understand that a lot of them were killed for their faith. Starting with Stephen, a deacon in the church, would not back down, would not recant what he said. And so they killed him, they stoned him. He gave his life. But who would not give their lives for someone who gave their lives for us? Jesus gave us the demonstration. He showed us exactly how. He showed us what love really looks like, right? Because no greater love does a man have for his friend than he give his life for him. So Jesus demonstrated that by taking up his own cross, over 2,000 years ago, he took up his own cross. Cross that was made just for him. He was the only one that could bear this cross. No one else could bear this cross. Jesus had to bear this cross all by himself. And so he took his cross. They marched him up the Via Dolorosa, on up to a hill called Golgotha, the place of the skull. And it was there that they crucified him on that cross. They nailed him in his hands and nailed him in his feet. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They mocked him. They spit at him. And he gave up the ghost and he died. As mama say, graveyard dead. He died. To the earth began to rock and to reel. He died until the moon dripped down in blood. He died, I tell you. They took him off the cross, put him in a tomb. He stayed there Friday. He stayed there all day Saturday. Seemed like all hope was lost, but all on Sunday morning, hope rose from the grave. Jesus got up with all power of heaven and earth in his hand. He got up from the grave. Because he rose, we're going to rise as well. Jesus took the sting out of death. Grave, where is your victory? You have no more victory. Because I know that I am a disciple of his. He showed me the way. He rose victoriously. And he sits at the right-hand side of the Father making intercession for us. He's praying for us. Can't emphasize that enough. Jesus is praying for you right now. And he's coming back. And I hope that you're ready. I hope that you're going to be in that number. That's my prayer. That you're going to be in that number. Because he's coming back again. He's going to set up his kingdom. My will or his will? The making of a true disciple. Is it your will or is it his will? The choice is up to you. Please stand to your feet. The door to the church is open. Is there one? Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Is there another? Is there another? But you want to be a follower of Christ? Yes. Thank you, Lord.
Good afternoon to Pastor Minor and the entire Macedonia Baptist Church. We have come in as a candidate for baptism, Alexander Smitherman.
Amen, Alexander. How you doing, man? Good. It's good to see you, man. How you feeling? So you want to give your life to Christ. Amen. Listen, that's the best decision that you can make. And we're going to baptize you on next first Sunday. I know you tried to get in this time, but we're going to get you next first Sunday, okay? All right, I'm going to ask that you go with Reverend Register, and he's going to have prayer with you. Yeah, that handsome gentleman right there. Amen. Amen. Let this church say amen. 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 You may be seated. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. We'll have our final installment on next week. No. I think I'm still going with my message for the Super Bowl. I'm going to tell y'all now, you know what my message is going to be? In the lion's den. That was going to be my message. In the lion's den. Pray for me. Yeah, I may have to go back to therapy, man. Pray for me. Pray, man. Have you been blessed this morning? Amen, amen. Listen, let me tell you something. I am so amazed at the word of God. The word of God is just wonderful, and I rejoice in his word, and I never can get enough of his word. And I endeavor you, please continue to get in the word of God, because that's where your blessings are going to come from. That's where your healing, that's where your deliverance is going to come from. Amen. We're going to step aside and ask that our clerk would read the names of those who have come by Christian experience and candidates for baptism.
Good afternoon again. Macedonia Baptist Church, new members as of February the 4th, 2024. I'm going to read the candidate for baptism first. And could you come forward and face Pastor Minor? That goes for all. We have Jaden Hood.
Amen.